Before we jump into God's Word in the Scripture, I want to give you some good news. So we as a church, our vision is upward, outward, forward. The outward piece of our vision is that we are called to take the message of Christ out, that we're supposed to share it with our friends and our neighbors, but we are a missional church, and we believe in making a difference not just here in Westchester and Mason and Liberty Township, but all over the world. And so for a little over a year, we've been partnering with Springdale Church of the Nazarene, and we have sponsored what's called a life center in the town of Chinaboquil, Guatemala. Say that with me. Chinaboquil, Guatemala. So we've been partnering with Springdale, and over a year, we've been supporting them, and it's a partnership between the two churches. But the plan has always been that when they're ready to start another life center, that one of us, Springdale or us, would move on to the next one, and then we would partner with other churches. And so I've got good news. There is a new life center opening on April 10th in Sequachil. So say Chinaboquil for me one more time. Chinaboquil. Okay. All right, now forget that. Because we have a new one. Don't forget it. Pray for them. They're great. But we have a new life center that we're going to be sponsoring in Sequachil. So say that with me. Sequachil. And so I want to tell you a little bit about this. The Life Center is a way to just enrich and change the lives of the people in the town of Sequachil. One of the ongoing problems in these small towns around Guatemala is that there's a lot of poverty, and there's just not a lot of opportunities for kids as they grow up to advance and get into a career. And so most kids are dropping out of school, and there's just kind of a depression in the area. And so what we're doing is we're partnering with the church, the Nazarene Church in Sequachil. We're supporting them financially, and we are sponsoring them to have a school for 45 students. And twice a week, those students will get hot meals, which they don't get very often. So it's giving them nutrition. And they're getting teaching and education that's enhancing them and helping them to stay in school. We have all the data from the last year of sponsoring Chinaboquil, and all of the kids' grades actually came up, and they're doing better in school. And so what we're doing is making a difference in the towns of Guatemala. We believe that we're called to share Christ all over the world. So April 10th, we're launching a new life center in Sequachil. The pastor of that church is Alex Paul. And the cool news is that Pastor Shane and Pastor Brad and I are going to actually get to go and be there for the launch of the Life Center. And so we'll have a lot more video and good stuff for you. And I just want you to be praying for the people of Sequachil. I'm praying that God will stir your heart to support them. And here's the deal. I want as many of us as possible to go and meet the people and see the church at Sequachil, because I promise you, I've been there, I've been to Guatemala 3 times, and I promise you that if you set foot in the church and if you saw those kids and you met them, that it would change your heart. And so be praying. We're so excited to be able to partner. I am so thankful to be a part of this wonderful church that believes that God's mission for us is not just this area, but around the world. And God is doing incredible things. Today, we're going to continue on in our journey to the cross. And over the last 5 weeks, we've been talking about this idea that we are called to take up our cross and follow Jesus. We're tracking with Jesus. So Pastor Emily did a great job, and our kids did a great job telling us the story that Palm Sunday, the day that we're celebrating today, is the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem. And it's the day that people praised him and shouted Hosanna. And so this was a part of Jesus' journey to the cross. And we're going to be looking at John chapter 12 today. But as we think about the journey to the cross, the people had gathered, as Pastor Emily shared, they were excited. They were shouting Hosanna, which means save us. And they were so excited. And then other people, so Jesus had done this really cool miracle where he brought Lazarus back to life. And because of that miracle, all these other people, Gentile people, were starting to realize that Jesus was the Savior. And so it tells us that after he comes into the city, after the triumphal entry, that all of these Gentiles wanted to meet him. And so they went to Jesus and they said, hey, there are people looking for you. And we hear this message from Jesus that's very similar to the message you've been hearing for 5 weeks now, and the message you hear every year at this time as we take our journey to the cross. So stand with me. There's going to be 2 scriptures today that we're going to read. The first and the second one, I won't have you stand, but the first one's John chapter 12, verse 23 to 28. And my prayer is this, that today God would speak to you through his word, and God would continue to transform your heart and your life to follow him to the cross. So John chapter 12, verse 23. They've come to Jesus. All these people are looking to Jesus. They want to worship Jesus. The people have waved the palm branches, shouted Hosanna. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Now, and here we start to see the heart of Jesus. We start to see the humanity of Jesus. It says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Praise the Lord. Have a seat. So people are coming after Jesus. We've just seen this exaltation, the Hosanna. People are excited that they believe this is the Savior. But Jesus gives them a similar message that he's been preaching for a while now. And that's that, hey, yes, follow me. But understand that anyone who wants to save their life is on a journey to the cross. They will lose it. And so Jesus once again is telling the people that he is headed to the cross. He knows exactly where he's going. Even as they're waving everything, he knows as he rides into the city that he's riding and ultimately headed to the cross. It tells us in verse 27, I told you we see his humanity. His soul is troubled. I've said this over the past few weeks. The cross is not a glamorous place. This was a place of brutality and torture and death. And Jesus knew, even as he rode into Jerusalem, that he was going to die on a cross. And it says here, he says, "My soul is greatly troubled." Have any of you ever known something was coming? You knew something was coming and your soul was just troubled about it. You could see it. You were waiting for it. Have any of you ever experienced that? Nod your head if you have, if you're with me. So if you might remember back right after Christmas, I had the opportunity to get a root canal. And if you know me, you know that I am pretty much a sissy when it comes to that sort of stuff. And you know that I don't like needles, and I don't like blood, and I don't like any of this stuff, so I found out I had to have a root canal. I'd actually had one before, but it was kind of an emergency thing, so I was hurting so bad that I didn't care. I just wanted them to take care of it. But this time, I had about 2 weeks to sit around and think about the root canal that was coming. And I got to tell you, I was the most overdramatic baby you've ever met. I was saying things to Megan like, did you say amen over there? I was saying things to Megan like, "You know, Megan, I don't know how this is going to go. Just please, 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 please pray for me. I don't know if I'm going to make it." And I was terrible. I'm going to be honest. My soul was troubled. I'm not kidding. I hate stuff like this. And even though I'd had one before, I knew I was going to go into an office and that they were going to drill deep into my soul and they were going to do this root canal. And my soul, and listen, I don't mean to compare myself to Jesus there. What Jesus was going to go through was a million times worse than anything I've ever gone through. But we see the humanity of Jesus. His soul is troubled because he knows he's going to the cross. But ultimately, he would be obedient. He says, what should I say? Should I say, save me? No. This is exactly why Jesus came. So he was obedient to death. But he says these words. He says, "Whoever wants to serve me must follow me." This sounds familiar. Take up your cross and follow me daily. Here's the tough news today. I know it's Palm Sunday and it's all celebration. Here's the tough news. If you want to follow Jesus, the path leads to the cross. We have to fully surrender everything. We have to be willing to die to our own selfish will, our own plans, everything that we want, everything. We have to be willing to surrender all of it. Amen. To take up our cross and follow Jesus. He may not be calling us to physically die on a cross, but he's calling us to give everything in our lives to him. We are called to full surrender. And here's the deal. All those people that gathered, waving palm branches, they were all excited. They had no clue what that meant. Well, we're called to full surrender. The question today is this on Palm Sunday. Where are you on the journey to the cross? Is your heart fully surrendered? Are you in complete obedience to Jesus? Is there anything in your life, Pastor Emily said this, is there anything in your life that needs to be given to him? Are you in full surrender? Maybe some of you today, you came here and you're not there and you don't really know Jesus. I want you to know that the only way to true life is to follow him. To give up everything you've got, he, and we're going to celebrate this next week, will give you new life. But the path is the cross. I'm going to bet that there's some of you here today that would say, yeah, I'm absolutely all in. But you have no clue what lies ahead. You have no clue what full surrender is going to mean for you. Are you fully surrendered? So the disciples, I want to fast forward to right after the Last Supper. Jesus has met with his disciples, and they've had the Last Supper the first communion together, and they have that Last Supper, and Jesus has just revealed to his disciples. So we're going to Luke chapter 22. Jesus has just revealed to his disciples that one of them would betray him and that he would die. You know how the disciples reacted to that? They got into an argument about who was the best among them. Is that not the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard? Jesus, their leader, has just told them that he's going to die, that one of them would betray him, and their response is to start arguing over who's the best, who's the most important. That's the context for Luke 22. And at this point, Jesus turns to Peter. By the way, if you don't know who Peter is, Peter was the disciple. I guarantee you he was right in the middle of that conversation. I guarantee you he was making some bold claims. This is what Peter does. He's always talking. He's always stepping out. And I guarantee you he was sitting there saying, I'm the best. I walked on water. You guys didn't do that. I'm always the one that steps up. And Jesus turns to Peter. I want you to hear this. So the tough news today is that if you want to serve him, you have to follow him to the cross. This story right here is so beautiful. And I want you to see it. So Jesus turns to Peter and he calls him by his other name. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, to sift all of you as wheat. He says, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But Peter, or Simon, replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and even to death. He's saying, I'm in for the cross. I'm in for whatever. I'm with you. And Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. So we have this incredible interaction, and I know this doesn't seem like a good passage, but this is so amazing. We're all on this journey to the cross, and I ask you today, are you completely surrendered? Are you fully surrendered to Jesus? Because that's what happens here. The disciples are arguing, and Peter no doubt was in the middle of that, and Jesus turns to him, and he says, let's work through this. There's three things that we see here. That I want us to learn from. The first is this. He turns to him and he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. You know what Jesus is saying to Peter? He's saying that the devil, the enemy, is after him trying to derail his faith in Christ. The devil is after him. Peter has no clue. Peter thinks that what he sees is everything. But Jesus is revealing that there is an enemy that's after his soul. Listen, I don't want to scare you too much because there's some really good news here. But I want you to hear this, that there is an enemy that wants to keep you from following Jesus. There's an enemy that wants to distract you or pull you away from being completely surrendered to Jesus. The enemy uses things like difficult situations or our pride. The disciples were arguing over who was best, our pride. We get prideful. We start to think that it's about us. Maybe other people or difficult situations. I can almost guarantee you that if you have a spiritual breakthrough today, that within the next few days, you're going to experience something. The enemy is going to try to distract you from following Jesus. The enemy will use anything. The enemy will try to cast doubt in your mind. The enemy will try to get you to question your calling. Think of the Garden of Eden, and the enemy says, hey, do you really not have to eat from, is it really a bad thing to eat from that tree? And the enemy deceives by trying to change the calling. Listen, Jesus is telling Peter here, there's a spiritual warfare going on that you're not even aware of. Why? Let me ask you a question. Why would the enemy be working so hard to pull Peter and the other disciples away from Jesus? Can I tell you the truth? That a fully surrendered follower of Christ has faith that can move mountains? That if we fully surrender ourselves to Him and are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can change generations. And the enemy knows it. And so the enemy wants to pull us away because the enemy knows. Spoiler alert, Peter and his friends changed the world through the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. The enemy wants to distract you because the enemy knows that this is the best path and that Jesus has a purpose for you. And that if you're fully surrendered, God's going to do incredible things. So the enemy's trying to distract, and Jesus warns Peter. The second thing we see is that Peter thinks he's fully surrendered. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I think Peter at the moment was fully surrendered. He says, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and even to death. I'm with you. I don't think that was fake. Peter was fully committed to Jesus. He feels like he can handle anything that's thrown at him. He's confident. He's been with Jesus. He's seen the miracles. This is his Savior. Hosanna, I'm with you. But Jesus knows better. And he says, Peter, I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen. Jesus knows exactly what's going to get in the way and trip Peter up. And so Peter's all in. He says, I'm there. Peter feels like he's fully surrendered. Maybe some of you have come here today and you say, I'm fully surrendered. It's possible that the enemy might be working to trip you up. And Jesus says, no, you're going to deny me. Not just that. Just a little bit later, Jesus is going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And his soul is so troubled at the thought of the cross that he's crying out to God, he's praying, and it tells us that he's sweating blood. That's how difficult this is for Jesus. Even though he came for the cross, in his soul he's hurting, and he goes to pray, and he says, guys, if you'll just pray while I go pray, and what happens? While he's sweating blood, his disciples have fallen asleep. They've already failed him. Peter, he says, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And before the rooster crows, what happens? Peter denies him three times. I can't even fathom that. I can't imagine. Jesus just told him what was going to happen, and he still failed. How is that possible? Let me tell you how that's possible. The enemy is good. The enemy's good. The enemy's really good at taking our thoughts or our doubts or our fears and pulling us away from Jesus. I don't want to get too down today. I want to give you the good news. That when Jesus died on that cross, he paid the price for any of our stumbles, any of our falls. And next week, we're going to celebrate resurrection. And when he raised from the dead, he gave us victory over that enemy. So here's what I want you to hear today. You may be here and you may be saying, it's Palm Sunday. Hosanna, I'm with you, Jesus. But I have a feeling that if Jesus were talking to us today, he'd say, hey, you have no clue what's coming ahead. This has to be so frustrating for him. But I want you to see how Jesus reacts to Peter. Peter says, I'm all in. I'm with you. Jesus says, now you're going to deny me. You're going to struggle. See, Jesus knew Peter would stumble. But what we see is that Jesus prayed for Peter's faith not to fail. I can't imagine this. It had to be so frustrating for Jesus to look at his disciples and to know that they were going to deny him and run away from him and fall asleep on him. But how did Jesus respond? It says, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And then he says this awesome thing. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Man, we just sang, he is worthy. I got to tell you, this is our Savior. And Peter's standing there pledging his faith, pledging his allegiance. And Jesus says, no, you're going to blow it. You're going to fail me. But I'm praying for you. Now, let me make this really clear. He says, I'm praying that your faith may not fail. Jesus knows that he's going to mess up. Jesus knows that he's going to go off the path. Jesus knows that he's going to stumble and fall. But what Jesus is praying is that Peter won't give up the journey to the cross, won't give up and turn away completely. He's praying that his faith will not fail. Listen, Jesus knows exactly what you've done. Jesus knows exactly where your heart is. And Jesus knows exactly what you're going to do, even the messy parts of it, even the faults and the struggles. How does he respond? He's praying for you. Romans chapter 8 tells us that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. I got some really good news today. Jesus knows. See, it's bad news because Jesus knows what we're going to do. Jesus knows where we're going to stumble, but it's good news because Jesus knows. And he's praying for you. And you know, I think my favorite part of this is he says, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. See, Jesus doesn't just know that Peter's going to deny him. Jesus knows that ultimately Peter will follow him. And Jesus is commissioning him, even in calling out his struggle, even in calling out his mess ups, his mistakes, his failures, Jesus is commissioning him to do great things. Listen, I don't know where you're at today. It's Palm Sunday. We enter Holy Week. I do know this, that where you're supposed to be, where we all should be today, is fully surrendered to Jesus. Maybe some of you came in here today and you really don't know much about Jesus. You're new to the whole church thing. Listen, there is no life outside of Jesus. This world can promise you a lot of things, but they're temporary and they will leave you empty. Only Jesus can give you true life. And today, as we come together and we shout Hosanna and we sing his praises, the only thing we can do is fully surrender everything. And Jesus knows. And Jesus is praying for you. And Jesus is on your side. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to respond to God's word today. Listen, maybe some of you have been following Jesus a long time, and today you'd say, I'm all in. Listen, I don't care where you're at. Today the response is the same. Jesus, you can have it all. Maybe there's something in your life that's taken the place. Maybe there's something that you haven't been fully surrendered to Jesus. Today the response is, it's all yours. Maybe there's an attitude. Maybe there's something in your past that you haven't been able to let go of, and it's holding you back, and the enemy's trying to distract you. Today the response is, I surrender. And here's the deal. Jesus knows that there are going to be bumps and there are going to be struggles, but he loves you. He's interceding and praying for you. And he's calling you to so much more than a wasted life. He's calling you to make a difference for his kingdom. So as we move to a time of response, that's what this is. We're going to sing a couple songs together, but I want to invite you to stand, and I want to invite you to respond today. There's four different ways that you can respond. There's a space over here, these two chairs in the corner are a space that if you're feeling weak today and you need someone to pray over you, if you're just struggling, come over here and our prayer team will pray over you. They will pray for you and lift you up in prayer. There are altars all around here and over here in the corner. If you just need to come and you need to surrender something today, maybe there's something in your heart, maybe there's something in your life that you need to give to him. These are a place to come and kneel and surrender. In the back, there's communion. Up top in the middle, there's communion. If you want to take communion today and you want to surrender with that sacrament, you can go back. Families, kids, lead the way. Go back and take communion. And right back in the middle, there's a prayer station that Pastor Emily put together that will help lead us to full surrender. So here's the deal. Stand with me. And as we sing these songs, I want to invite you to move around freely. I want to invite you to go pray, kneel, have someone pray for you, do the prayer station, whatever it looks like. But please, surrender everything. The only path to real life is to follow him. Today, we surrender everything. Jesus, take everything I have, everything we have. Help us to lay it down at your feet. Our hurts, our struggles, our doubts, our failures, our shame. We lay it at your feet. We surrender all to you. Pray that you'd speak to us and transform us. And I thank you, Lord, that today you're praying for us. And you're working on our behalf. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.